to minute 29 of season 12 of Movie Right Minute, the Daily Podcast, where we dig our way through the Morgan Freeman, Tim Robbins movie, The Shawshank Redemption, 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me once again today is Bubba Wheat from It's Time to Rewind. Welcome back once again, Bubba.
Good to be back.
Yes, it always is. So, minute 29 begins with Red warning Andy and ends with Red coming to a conclusion. So, we left things off yesterday with Red giving Andy a stern warning and basically saying to him, if you get caught, you don't know me. And today he continues that thought and goes, you mention my name, we never do business again. And he goes, not for shoelaces or a stick of gum. You got that? Now, it's really interesting he first says, you don't know me. So it should already imply that, on the one hand, you need to say, okay, I don't know where I got this, and I'm not going to tell the information. But if I do give the information, then we're never going to do business again. So if you do get caught, we'll still do business again as long as I don't hear that you mentioned my name. That type of thing. Going back to the analogy I used yesterday, even if Red brought it, you'll say that Blue or White was the one who was the one who gave you the access to it. Type of thing. So yeah, it's just an interesting way to look at it, the whole thing. Now he mentions here not for shoelaces or for a stick of gum. Do you think he's referring to shoelaces on a boot or something else?
I didn't give it that much thought. So I just kind of took it at face value that shoelaces were shoelaces.
Well, why would an inmate need shoelaces? Couldn't they easily get shoelaces, from the prison themselves?
Like from the commissary.
I
imagine that's one of those things.
I have a ripped shoelace. You go to the laundry or whatever it is, and they give you another shoelace for that. Unless it's set that you can only get shoelaces, once every 3 months or once every 6 months, and if you need it beforehand, then you need to get something. Have you ever heard the term shoelace be used for something else?
I mean, the only other time that I've heard of it being used in terms of like with Brooks, you get several shoelaces together and form a makeshift rope for those purposes.
Okay, I wasn't referring to Shawshank in general.
Prison.
Right. I meant in general.
I mean the other only other shoelaces is like shoelace licorice.
Okay, very good. That's where I'm going with this. I think he's referring to licorice because, he's talking about something that is very cheap. So he's saying, I'm not going to do business with you, not even for anything even cheap, like a shoelace or even a stick of gum. Usually you'd think that you would be buying a whole pack of gum, whether it's five sticks or not, but the idea is you're not going to be buying just one stick.
Yeah.
So I think that's what he's trying to get at here. That he's basically saying it doesn't matter what you want. It could be a little thing or a big thing. It's ambiguous. It could be that he really is talking about shoelaces. There is that possibility. I'm not denying it, but, I still believe that it's very plausible and possible that he's referring to candy here, because usually the type of things that people are going to be smuggling into a prison are things that you personally need and want that you can't get in the prison itself. And when you think of it on face value, a shoelace is something that you can probably get if it rips and you need a new one. But licorice is something that's going to be a little harder to come by.
Yeah, I guess I could see that.
Again, I could just completely, be making this up and be full of it, but who knows? I mean, it's not like back in the 1940s they had specialty laces and stuff like that. Ones that were like elastic or things, or they're just all standard. It's, like you think about the type of things that you would consider that people are smuggling into a prison. Besides a rock hammer, which is probably a very unique item, but people are gonna probably be sneaking. I don't remember if it's in the movie or in the book where they talk about that. People want a deck of cards with dirty pictures. They would want lingerie magazines because back in the 40s, they didn't have pornography the way that they didn't have access to pornography the way they do today. That would have probably been a specialty item if you wanted to try and get something like that. Booze.
I don't know. I also think that, if you do want to just look at the literal side of shoelaces, there is laundry, but I wouldn't think that you'd be turning in your boots. I feel like the boots would be something that you would be wearing constantly. And if your shoelaces, like, it would stay with that specific prisoner, especially since everybody has different shoe
Correct.
sizes. And so I would think that, their shoes would stay with them pretty much at all times. And so if their shoelace does break, then they would have to deal with a broken shoelace and find someplace somehow to replace
No, but
it.
if you have a if you if they if you got a broken shoe, you're gonna walk around with a broken shoe, or you can go to a particular place in the prison, wherever that is, and say, okay, I want to change. My 10 and a halves have completely run out, or they ripped or something like that, and they need a new one. You think that these are it's same that you can think of it from the same perspective of clothes. If you have clothes, if the shirt is going to be ripped or the pants are ripped, you're going to get a new one. They're not going to say, okay, just walk around with it ripped, or they're not going to say, go sew it yourself. Here's needle and thread. I mean, that's the way I'm looking at it.
Yeah, possibly.
So. No, again, it's still I'm not denying the plausibility that it could be that he's really talking about shoelaces here. I just like the idea that it's possible that it's not.
Yeah.
Do you know any slang terms for using for real shoelaces?
No.
So sometimes they're referred to as strings. In the 40s, they were known as dog bones, and in the military slang, they're known as frog eyes because of the way that it's threaded into the into the into in, into the shoe itself, that type of thing. And basically, Andy looks at him and goes, "I understand," and he starts to. Walking away, and he goes, "Thank you, Mr. Red." Then, stops in the middle of throwing again, which probably definitely helped add to the soreness that he was going to have the following day, where he was going to stop and constantly throw and stop, and he says, "Red. Name's Red." And he looks at him and goes, "Red? Why did I call you that?" And he pauses for a little while and he goes, "Maybe it's because I'm Irish." Now, I love this line. Okay, now you might have read the trivia about this line. Do you know anything about the line, what it really means or not?
Yeah, and then in the novel, Red was an Irishman, was a white
That's right.
Irishman with red hair, I
That's right.
believe.
And they actively tried to get Robert Redford to play this role because they thought he was the perfect Red. Till someone thought out of the box and said, "Hey, wait a second, why don't we bring Morgan Freeman and use the same line, but now it'll be a joke instead of it being serious," which works really great.
Yeah, I also like how he laughs after he says it, like he's laughing at his own
Yeah,
joke.
exactly. Which makes you also wonder, have other people asked him this question? Is it that you have a nickname?
It also makes you wonder how did Andy find out that Red is the one that you go to get things without learning his name ahead of time?
That's true. That's true. He's like, go. Oh, you need something? Go to the black guy playing playing catch. It's like, how else can you describe him? I mean that the name does the nickname comes from the fact that his last name is Redding. So, that's where it does come from here. But no, you make a very good point. It's like, okay, Bubba, I want to send you to John to go get something, but I can't tell you his name is John. So I want you to go and look around the park, and if you see a guy who looks like he's doing this and that and the other thing, that's going to be the guy you need to show up with. But I'm not going to tell you his name.
Yeah, you would think, oh yeah, Red's the guy that if you need something, you talk to Red.
That's right. Yeah, but again, he doesn't necessarily know his name is Red. Unless he, once again, unless he believes that he was told that his name is Red and he knows Red's his nickname, but he doesn't want to refer to him as his nickname, so he asks him, okay, what's your real name? Mr. Maybe he's trying to get out of him the Redding part. Which would sort of make sense, because if you look at someone like Andy, Andy's looking for a way to feel normal, and for him, normal is being in meetings all day and meeting people. And in the 1940s, the way that you conducted yourself in a meeting is, you refer to everyone by their Mr., Miss., Mrs., things like that. You didn't call anyone by their first name. So maybe that's what Andy's asking for here. He's saying, okay, I know your name is Red. I was told to come find Red. I found Red. I have no idea why you're called Red. So I want to actually refer to you by your real name, Mr. Whatever. That type of thing.
I'm Mr.
There you
Red.
go. A horse is a horse, a horse, of course. the famous Mr. Red. It actually reminds me. Have you ever seen the movie The Last Boy Scout with Bruce Willis?
No, I
Okay,
have
so
not.
the one of the main henchmen of the bad guy likes to refer to people by their full names. So Bruce Willis's character's m name is Joe Hollenbeck, and the bad guy Milo, played by Taylor Negrin, always refers to him as Joseph. And then when Milo meets Damon Wayans' character, whose name is Jimmy Dix, he calls him James the entire time. He's the type of guy who refers to people by their full name. He needs to be very formal and stuff like that. So, I like
Yeah.
the way that they do that. Because that's a reminiscent here of the fact that Andy wants to be formal with Red. I think that's what it comes down to.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's you can use that to tie into Red's next, his narration line where he says, I could see why some of the boys took him for snobby, because he doesn't just immediately call you by the nickname that everybody knows. He wants to know what your name is in like a formal introduction.
And Red basically shakes his head, and as you said, laughs at himself at his little joke that he made, and then he throws the ball back, and then Andy walks away. And as Andy's walking away, we get narration from Red, who says, "I can see why some of the boys took him for snobby. He had a quiet way about him, a walk and a talk that just wasn't normal here. He strolled like a man in the park." And we see as Andy is walking, he bends down and picks up a rock and picks it up and starts dusting it off to continue, I guess, making us believe that he really is a rock hound. And then the narration continues, like a man in the park without a care or a worry in the world. And at this point, Andy then tosses the rock up and plays catch with himself. Like he had an invisible coat that would shield him from this place. Yeah, I think it would be fair to say I liked Andy from the start. So I really think this is a great monologue. It's written so well because it tells us so much about Red and his first impression of Andy after actually having met him, as opposed to just seeing him. So I like that. It's also become a very iconic monologue from the movie. So that's all I have to say about this particular minute. Did you have anything else you wanted to add?
Yeah, I do like that, and I think that how he describes it is really what you can take from and the way Andy behaves as a character in this, especially this first few years of him in prison with him. He has this invisible coat that would shield him from this place because, he knows that he's innocent. And that he's not, that he's here on a, a wrongful conviction, and that he's trying to survive the way that he knows how, and that's to kind of put a barrier between himself and this place, while at the same time he is kind of using his intelligence to, and as an audience, especially like a first-time watcher, we don't know this just yet, but he's already putting in place the machinations of his eventual re
Right.
escape,
He doesn't know any.
even in just the first few weeks. Yeah. Or maybe he does, maybe this is a plan that he had from the very beginning, that he would potentially use that to that's a rock hammer to escape. And that does kind of tie in a little bit to what you were saying earlier this week about Red being the main character, because Andy is a closed off character, and in this entire scene, he's closed off. These are the first words that Red has heard him speak to anybody in the first few weeks that he's been in
Well,
this prison, like he's been in the general
he did ask who
population.
Fat Ass was, if he knew Fat Ass's name. That was about it.
Yeah, but this is, this is somebody that doesn't talk much, keeps to himself. He's very closed off, and again, moving forward into the later parts of the movie, he doesn't tell anybody about his escape plan. That is something that is his. And his alone. And that also ties into how he talks about the music in his head. It's his alone. It's something that nobody can take from him. His plans are his own. His machinations are his own. And like he does bring Red in, but he only brings Red in for Red's portion of his plan in terms of, the case that he hides, he plans to hide for
Right.
him under the wall, the rock wall. But everything else, Andy keeps to himself. And we didn't, the audience doesn't even know about his escape plan until Red tells it to us.
Sure. All right. So today's segment is called Andy Do Thursday, where my guests will give their top five Tim Robbins roles.
All right, this was a little bit harder because Tim Robbins is, he's not someone that I have seen a whole lot of movies of him, with him in it. And the ones that I have seen, most of them, he's not a super main character. And so a couple of them, I kind of just went from, it took IMDb's word for it, or Wikipedia's word for it, that he's in them, even though like his character in a couple of these don't make a big strong impression, but I do like the movie as a whole. And so that kind of starts things off with my number five. I'm gonna go with Top Gun, which I know he's in it. I don't think he has a huge role. I believe he's like one of the other recruits in the academy, if
No,
I'm remembering
he's
correctly.
Cougar's Rio, and then after Goose gets killed, so he's sent to replace Goose as Maverick's Rio.
Okay. Yeah, I've seen that movie once, and yeah, I don't remember his
Okay,
character too strongly, and
he's not in the movie very
that's
prominently,
that.
but at the very end you can clearly see him because he's very
Yeah.
tall. And when everyone's cheering them, he's standing in the background, you can see him.
Yeah, and then my number four is going to be Twister. And I think it's mainly because it's been, it's a while since I've seen this movie. Again, I don't remember
He's
his
in
role
Twister.
super strongly.
I didn't.
Yeah, according to the list, I saw it on there. So
Interesting.
maybe it's just like a very small role, but I.
Could it be? Are you sure it's that same Twister that we're talking about?
I mean, I'd have to go back to the list, but I saw it on the list and wrote it down, so that's where I am. And then my number th
Yeah, no, I don't. I don't see that he's listed here. He was in a different movie called Twister from 1989. 89.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Well, then I will swap that out.
He was in Twister, but not that
All
one.
right, then I will swap that out with IQ, which I believe I mentioned in a previous season, for some reason.
And Meg Ryan, of course.
Yeah.
Meg Ryan.
Which again, I haven't seen that. Like I know that I've watched that movie, but I couldn't tell you a single other plot point about it other than, it's a romantic comedy with Albert Einstein as a character.
Okay.
And then my number three, I will go with Howard the Duck, which I do remember his role. It's a little bit more prominent. He's actively involved in the climax of that movie. That was like one of his first roles. It's not a great movie, but I have fun with it. I still have fond memories. I watched it whenever I was pretty young, and it has Leah Thompson in it, and that's worth a watch for that.
Yes.
And then at my number two, I will go with Shawshank Redemption. I'll put this at my number two, and then my number one, I'm gonna go with Hudsucker Proxy, which that is a fantastic movie. I love that. It's one of my favorites, Coen Brothers, and I feel like I've been saying this a lot this week, but that's one that I really need to revisit because I just love the absurd nature of that movie. And it is like 100% my style of humor that I really enjoy. It's like
Oh,
for kids.
cool. Okay, why not? All right, and now we will play the first of two daily games. We're going to play the game of high-low. So let's spin the wheel. See what you're first. Okay, the 2017 film Lady Bird.
Oh yeah, okay. Yeah. It took me a minute to actually have seen this one. It's the Saoirse Ronan, right? Yeah, I really enjoyed this movie. I'm gonna go IMDb 8.2 and Rotten Tomatoes 91.
So IMDb at 7.4 and Rotten Tomatoes is 99, which I think is really, really high.
Critical
I
darling.
mean, again, it's not a terrible movie, but I don't think it would be that close to 100%. Again, I'm using the benchmark of, Shawshank being 91%. So all right, let's spin the wheel for the next one. the 1999 movie The Sixth Sense.
Okay. I think this is another IMDb top 250. I don't think it's quite as high as Strangelove. So that was 8.4. So I'm going to go 8.2. And critics, Rotten Tomatoes. See, I don't think it's going to be high 90s. I'm going to go 85.
And you're close. You're close. It's 8.2. You got that exactly on the button. And it's 86 with critics. So there you go. Just one off.
Nice.
Nicely done. Nicely done. All right. Let's spin the wheel for the next one.
Which it's been incredible to think about how similar whenever you take a look at the plot points in Sixth Sense compared to 12 Monkeys. Like I made a Threads joke about it where it's like, you know, if I had a nickel for every time Bruce Willis was in a movie where his character gets shot at in the opening scene of the movie, but we don't find out that he actually gets killed until the end of the movie, then I'd have two nickels, but it's weird that it happened twice.
Right. Within a period of just 4 years.
And both movies that he has, you know, he talks about how everybody's dead. He has a line in 12 Monkeys where it's like, all I see are dead people.
Maybe M. Night had seen that beforehand and that inspired him. Right, so your final one is the 1978 Oscar-winning Best Picture, The Deer Hunter.
Right, The Deer Hunter. I was not a fan of this movie. I feel like the IMDb is going to be a bit lower, although I want to say it's probably also still on the top 250. I'm going to say 7.9 IMDb, and I feel like it's going to be higher with critics. I'll say 91 Rotten Tomatoes.
Basically off by two on both of them. So the IMDb is 8.1 instead of the 7.9 that you mentioned, and the Rotten Tomatoes is 89 instead of the 91. It was off by two, going in two different directions.
Not bad.
No, not bad at all. Nicely done. Nicely done. Bubba. Have you ever seen the Deer Hunter?
Yeah, it was actually a pretty early episode of my, you know, my first podcast film, or not first podcast, but my podcast film wise. I paired it with the James Gunn movie Super. And I felt that it was too long. You know, I liked the back half of it a lot better than the front half, but it
Okay.
was just a bit too slow for me.
Okay. That's fair. I understand that. So I mean it is a very good movie, but it does encompass a lot from
Yeah, it's like the
that
fur,
perspective.
if I remember right, like they spend almost an entire hour. The first hour of the movie is like a revolving around the wedding.
Right. It's been a few years since I've seen it. I probably should rewatch it also one of these days. And now we will play the second daily game of Name That Novel Adaptation. So let's spin the wheel and see what you get. Okay, this is a movie that came out in 1995, and the original story is called The Sheep Pig.
The sheep. Oh, Babe, Pig in the City.
That's right. Yeah, that one sort of gives it away, but oh well. Nothing you can do about that. All right, so Bubba, would you like to once again tell people where they can find you?
Sure. Today I will talk about the podcast of mine that has been re releasing every other Thursday. Although at this point I'm, to coincide with my busy podcasting schedule, it's going to be releasing every other Fridays now, is my oral history of movies by minutes, where every other
What's
week
that? I've
I go
never heard of
back.
that. What's that?
Yeah, I have been going back to the beginning of the Movies by Minutes podcasting trends and interviewing the hosts of the podcasts that started back in, Star Wars Minute was 2013, and then it really started snowballing around 2016. Is that's kind of where I'm at here in the recording, where practically, a dozen podcasts were coming out within just a few weeks of each other. And it's been interesting to talk to these people, how they started their podcasting journey, how they discovered the Movies by Minutes journey, or the Movies by Minutes format, and how they decided to commit to such a weird little niche, weird but fantastic little niche of movie podcasting. And it's been, a pleasure reaching out to these people and just talking about them and their podcasting and the creative process.
All right, very cool. I love that podcast, and I wish it was more than once every fortnight, but I understand why it is. That's okay. You need to do it like it needs to be a daily show, like most movies by minutes. Yeah, that would. I know it's almost impossible to do that, but that's because we all have a finite amount of time. Exactly. All right. And finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Movie Ramen. You can find me on Facebook, you can find me on Twitter, you can find me on Instagram, you can find me on my website, movieramen.com. And if you want to send me an email, you can send it to movieramen@movieramen.net. So, Baba, you feel like coming back for one more episode this week?
Yeah, I think I got one more in me.
All right. So, we will be back tomorrow. But until then, get busy living.
Or get busy dying.